Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise you, the Lord. Yes, you are once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown, Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, my guest is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be sharing with us another inspirational poem, and then he's going to go directly into God's Word, but I'm going to have him open up with prayer on tonight. So we always open up with prayer, but I want you all to get your pens, get your paper ready, so that in your Bibles, so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he break down God's Word on tonight. He conclude with part two of his message, Deadly Distractions. So if you tuned in the last time he was on the air, you heard that part one, which was powerful. So he has a conclusion of this message, part two on tonight. So you don't want to miss it. You want to be blessed by it. So get your Bibles, pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox. So right now I'm going to turn the mic over to Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to open up with prayer. Then he's going to share his poem. Then he's going to go directly to God, to God's Word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Hey, man, I thank you, Brother Brown. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. May we bow our heads, please. May we also clear our minds. Gracious Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come. Our Father, thanking and praising you for being so kind and so merciful unto us. My Father, in the name of Jesus, my Father, we submit ourselves wholeheartedly to your will and to your way. My Father, you know what it is that we stand in need of. My Father, we ask that you meet every need, my Father, that is before you this evening. My Father, we need more understanding. We ask that you give us more understanding. If the land needs to be healed, my Father, we ask that you heal our land. My Father, whatever it is that we stand in need of, my Father, for you made us. And you know all about us. Father, we just ask that you continue to put your loving arms of protection around us. Lead and guide us to all truth. Father, we ask these and all blessings in your Son, Jesus' name. In his name we do pray. Amen. Immediately go into the program that's set up for tonight. And it's a continuation for those that were not present last week. The Lord put it on my mind, on my heart to come forth with the same message, but only add to it because it's a much needed message in this time. And the poem that I read is the same poem that I read last time to you. It's called I Look to You. And it reads, in times like these, when people seem so frantic, in times like these, when there is a worldwide panic, when there's no answer to simple questions and I don't know what to do, I'll fall down on my knees, Lord, and I'll look to you. When hope has fled my thoughts and been replaced by joy, doubt, and fear, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. The good shepherd is always near. When the storm clouds pass over and my sky turns from gray to blue, I will give thanks for your love and mercy because I depend on you. When death pays a visit to this milk and honey land, my logic and reason abandon me, and I just don't understand. When attendance in your house dwindles down to a faithful few, I will attend service in my heart because I believe in you. When our government tells me, oh, you better stay, I know that the answer is just a prayer away. Don't kiss your wife. Don't hug your kids. Do what we tell you to. Lord, to separate a family, I know, is not of you. A family that prays together, stays together, through good times and stormy weather. For you truly are my refuge, my shelter during the storm, a quiet place, a peaceful place, a tent that keeps me warm. For those who are unaware or who haven't got a clue, the safest place in the world right now is to rest inside of you. So please get to know him. The time is getting late. Accept him as your personal savior. There's no need to hesitate. He told us about these calamities. Every word he said was true. Lord, you are the only one who can save us. That's why I look to you. Amen. We're now going to go into tonight's lesson. I'll be reading to you from King James Version, Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 29 through 33. And it reads, and he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they were in a ship, came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I just read unto you from the book of Matthew. Gospel is recorded by Matthew, the 14th chapter, 29th to 33rd verse, from the King James Version of the Bible. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. Now, tonight's lesson is a continuation of the lesson that we previously done. And that lesson is deadly distractions. Now, I've got to give you a brief history on the lesson from a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about how man, regardless of what his station is, has allowed himself to be distracted from the Word of God. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that we're not supposed to be anxious. We're not supposed to let nothing separate us from the Word of God. So we know that distraction comes from the Greek, and it means to set apart, to separate, to drag, to make one lose their focus. So any distraction that comes concerning the Lord can be a deadly distraction. We went about telling you how different saints and patriarchs and matriarchs of the Bible were distracted, how they allowed those things that to distract them to separate them from the word of God. But see, if God has a purpose for you, God is very tolerant. God is very patient with us because he sent Jonah on a mission that only Jonah could complete. And on that mission, Jonah went elsewhere. Jonah was distracted because for whatever reason, we could speculate on a lot of reasons. The Bible is not necessarily specific about the reasons, but if you know the history of Jonah, you know that the Ninevites and the Assyrians were mortal enemies, that they had fought, that they had killed, that they had slaughtered one another. And for whatever reason, see, as Peter was getting out of the ship, he became distracted. He had the authorization from God. He had the authorization from the Lord. When the Lord told him to come, see, when the Lord gives you the authorization to do something, guess what? He done cleared your way so that you could do it. He done cleared your way, and he done removed obstacles out of the way. All we have to do is exhibit our obedience when it comes down to these things. But a lot of times we are distracted, and see, we know that when Peter got out of the ship, he was uncertain. And a lot of times uncertainty will distract you from the things that God has ordained you to do. But I'm going to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, this evening, that when God gives you permission to do something, all you got to do is carry it out. Because there's been many times that I left the church building and the Lord had given me a specific message to bring to my household. And because I thought that the people in my house would rebel against that which God told me, I put it another way. I'm more than sure that all of us have had those type of assignments to do, whereas God has told each and every last one of us, I want you to say it this way. I want you to tell your brother or your sister or this person or that person about their line. I want you to tell them, just walk up to them in a private moment. Don't do it, you know, to embarrass them, because that's not how God operates. But to tell them, you need to stop that line. And when you do these things, see, sometimes we are more afraid of man. We're more distracted by what it is that man could do to us, that we lose our focus on what it is that God will help us to do. So it's very, very important that we not allow ourselves to be distracted by fear, anxiety, be distracted by a multiplicity of things that come up in our life every day to separate us, to drag us apart, to drag us away from that which God has told us to do. Because, see, we already know what it is now. We know over there in Proverbs, it tells us that, you know, you train up your child in the way in which he should go. And when he is older, he will not, what? He will not depart from it. He will not, what? He will not be distracted from those things. Because, see, nowadays there are so many things in our life that can distract us, and that they are so deadly. They become a fatality to us if we're not careful. For there are so many things out there that just grab your focus and grab your attention to the point that you forget what it is. But see, right now, I know Brother Norman King, Pastor Norman King is listening. He went through the services. Brother Brown, those that have been in the military, see, the military train you for just about all types of situations. So when that situation come up, and see, the training prepares you. It may never happen, but when that situation happens, you already know up front what to do. So in other words, you could train for so long, you could train so hard that when that time comes up, guess what? It becomes instinctive for you to react in a proper way. And this is the purpose why we should go to the house of prayer, why we should read our Bibles, why we should study, why we should treat our fellow man right. Because after a while, it becomes instinctive for us to love one another, instinctive for us to treat each other right. Even when you treat me wrong, I'm not going to retaliate against you. I'm not going to go and cuss you out or nothing like that. I'm going to learn how to turn the other cheek. So my brothers and my sisters, I say that these distractions, that's why it is very important when what the Lord gave me to give to you, and that's to look to the Lord, look to the hills, because see, he is the only one that could take you and bring you away from these things. But see, we allow ourselves. And see, believe it or not, being distracted is a very, 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 very selfish thing, because it becomes all about me and not about he. Because I'm so focused on those things that are, and see, that demon, he knows what you like. He knows what it is that tickles your fancy. He knows what it is that will steal your focus away. Because what is his job? He said he comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And see, well, he could kill you by dwelling your spirit. He could steal from you. See, when he steals, that's distracting. It's very distracting when somebody takes something from you. So when they steal, guess what? He's taken. And I never looked at it like this. Don't let nobody steal your joy. Don't let nobody what? Take it away. Don't let nobody distract you. Don't let nobody separate you. And this is an individual thing. I'm not talking about a group thing. I'm talking about individual things. So we each have to be mindful of these things, because as I go on further into the lesson, we will find out that there were many, many people in the Bible who were distracted for one reason or another, had one selfish reason why they did something that was against God or something that God did not approve of, even though God loved them, even though God ordained them, because see, he knew that we're human and that we're subject to what? Mistakes and errors. He knows that. So by us being subject to mistakes and errors, see, God gives us a little bit of leeway, but we have to be like those people or not like those people in Sodom and Gomorrah. See, we have to have a desire to do right, because we're dealing with things, okay, things that know us in a lot of cases more than we know ourselves. And see, if I'm letting and Jesus be at the center of my life and lead me and guide me all truth, then I don't have time to allow myself to be distracted. But see, I want you to know, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl is beyond distraction. And see, I'm glad that the Lord gave me this, because it's time for each and every last one of us to concentrate, to focus, because over the last 14, 16 months, we've been distracted by this thing that they call the pandemic. A lot of us, when they told us that we couldn't go or we couldn't assemble ourselves in the house of prayer, you think a lot of us picked up Bible? No. We started looking at the haves and the have-nots, the wannabes and the used-to-bes and all this on TV and everything. We allowed our focus to go to something else, because God freed up a lot of time for each and every last one of us to do what? To commune with him. There's no reason right now why each and every last one of us should not be Bible scholars. I know that when I first started reading the Bible, it was a monumental task, because the preacher, he gave us an assignment. He said, I know that if you read it or try to read it all at one time, it's going to bust your brain. And I didn't understand what it was that he was saying. But see, I'll tell you what, take a year and read a little bit every day, and within a year's time, read, you know, go from cover to cover in the Bible. Don't miss nothing. Don't skip out on nothing. Don't let nothing distract you. And so we've had more than enough time. But see, that time that was occupied by worship, that time that was occupied by charity, that time that was occupied by love, guess what? That distraction came in, and it filled our heart with animosity. It filled our heart with greed. It filled our heart with anxiety. See, we were distracted from that. But see, before this pandemic hit, we all were concentrating. Those that were attending the house of prayer on a regular basis. But times changed. But see, that should have given each and every last one of us that opportunity that we were seeking. Say, Lord, I haven't been able to spend enough time with you. Lord, but see, the thing about that, we have to make time. You have to make time. Got to find that quiet spot. Got to find that quiet time that you can sit down, that you can concentrate. That time of your day when everything comes to a standstill, we have to sacrifice those things that are no good for those things that are some good. Because we look at the TV, we look at this, we listen to that, and those things are filled with filth. And then we call somebody, oh, did you see this person? Did you see that person? Oh, yeah, Cookie with something else. Yeah, Lucius with something else. And we go to fantasizing about the wrongdoing that people, we get enjoyment out of that, even though we know that it's not real. See, we're getting distracted. They'll say it's easy. So easy to get distracted. So easy to lose your focus. That's why you got to look to the hills. You got to concentrate on Jesus. And no man, once again, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl is exempt from distraction, because you're dealing with something, principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, then somebody, believe it or not, somebody right now got your resume on their desk. And it's a resume of your pleasures. It's a resume of your likes, your dislikes, what you would do, what you won't do, but it's there. Because, see, when you fill out that resume, guess what? Most of the time when you fill out a resume, you fill out all the good things that you have accomplished. But I'm telling you, this individual got it in a resume of all the negative things, all the dark secrets that you keep, and all the things that will make you turn away from God. All your pleasures, all your lust, all your covetousness is in that resume. Now, when we see each other, we see that finished product. So Paul says this. He said, it's a war going on inside of me daily. So if there's a war going on, guess what? That war is against good, against evil. And see, if you notice, I did not put evil first, because evil could never come before good. Because, see, that distraction that I'm talking about, see, your spirit man will distract you. See, we're talking about negative distraction and deadly distractions. Let us talk momentarily about those good distractions. When you was about to do something that you know that you didn't do, that you shouldn't be doing, then all of a sudden it reminds you, boy, girl, woman, man, whatever your position is, now you know that you shouldn't be doing this. And then later on, when you didn't do it and you find out that it's a great benefit and not sinning in that way, we got the nerve enough to say, something told me. Now you know for yourself that that demon is not going to tell you not to do something good. He's not going to instruct you on ways in which that you can save your life, or ways in which you could please God. He's not going to tell you that. He's not going to tell you that the wages of sin is death. But he will tell you, hey, you might have to pay a price, but it's worth it. Now, could you imagine that somebody knows that that the end thereof is destruction, but they're going to encourage you to do it anyway? See, that's that distraction. Now, which is going to bring us to our first distraction of the evening, which was Eve. We know that the word says, and I'm just going to paraphrase a few verses, but we know that the word says that God gave Adam and his wife dominion over everything that was in the garden. But it was a creature in there that was more subtle than anything or anyone. And see if you could use that subtleness. In a lot of ways, he was kind that would sneak up on you. He was slick. He was sly. He was manipulative. He was deceptive. And see, when you innocent and you deal with this type of thing, then you have nothing to fall back on except for the truth. Because how many times have people, young people, been distracted by their so-called friends? Can you imagine them same thing Satan, the serpent, told Eve, oh, ain't nothing going to happen to you. Your eyes, you ain't going to die. Could you imagine friends telling other friends, oh, hey, I done tried it. It didn't do nothing to me. Now, that's how it worked, come to you innocently. And once you're distracted, guess what? It have to become a water gate. Because after Adam partake of the fruit, after he allowed his wife to distract him, nobody put a gun to his head and said, you better do this. So he was not forced to do it. And we are not forced either. So later on, in the cool of the evening, when God was looking for him, he asked him, he said, where are you? So I'm over here, Lord. Now the Lord knew where he was. What you doing? I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because I'm paraphrasing. Why are you hiding? Well, you know, I ate that fruit and I'm naked. Who told you you was naked? You know, so what I'm saying is that your distractions will try to make you hide your shame. They're trying to make you hide your shame in such a way that you have to continuously see all these distractions, because see, there's one distraction follows another distraction, and it's a chain reaction of distractions. You got to keep on continuously because, in other words, let me just put it plain and simple. These lies, because see, lies are distractions, and lies attempt to hide you from the truth or to sway you from the truth. And see, distractions, the city come in all ways, all shapes, all forms, all directions. So it's easy. It's easy to allow these deadly distractions to come about you and to come on you and to take your focus off of one thing. Because, I mean, sometimes we concentrate so hard on one thing, we forget about what, you know, and I know this has happened, and I know some of us might even have a chuckle about this. It's been many times where we went to the store, we had a craving for some ice cream. Then we went into the store to get this ice cream and come out the store with everything but ice cream. And this is how these distractions work. Our focus, and we really wanted that. We really craved that. But then when we got to that area, it was so many different things there. It was such a variety of things that we liked that we did not get what we intended to get. So this is how a distraction is. You focused on something, but then all of a sudden, that subliminal message. And they used to do this in the movies all the time, whereas you in a movie house, and you're looking at a movie about the Arctic cold. I mean, and it's cold and everything. Then all of a sudden, you get a craving for ice cold Coca-Cola. I mean, you almost shivering in your seat. But see, they used to put these things in those films where they might have a hot beaming sun that's just a nanosecond that just turns on that. Because the eye picks up on things, but you see this, then all of a sudden you're thirsty. So this is the same way that demon operates. He will implant that thought in your mind, and see, you can't see it. I mean, you see it, and it registers in your brain, it registers in your subconscious mind. Next thing you know, you want to do that. So God's word said in the end days that that harlot would be in the door and she would attempt to seduce men and beckon them to come to her. Why? Because she's playing on their lust. She's praying on their covetousness. So we have to be careful. Do not allow yourself to be distracted, because see, these distractions that are out there are deadly. Once again, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about distracted driving. We talked about distracted this, distracted that, but then we even broke it down to distracted walking. You know, it's dangerous to even walk out there nowadays. You see the people, first they started with the iPods and the earphones and everything, but now they got the earbuds and everything, and people walking down the street, popping their fingers, walking in the signs, walking in the, getting hit by cars, and driving is the same way. Because do you remember when you took your first driver's test, what they told you? And this was just a test to see how your concentration was, see if you allowed yourself to be distracted. They tell you while you're driving, okay, change the station. And if you took your mind off, and see, they must have knew something. If you took your eyes off the road for just that few seconds of just the radio, then you get back to the Secretary of State, you didn't pass. You say, I didn't pass. I did everything you told me to do. Yeah, but you took your eyes off the road. You took your hands off of that 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock position. See, it's a lot of things that subconsciously would distract you, and you don't even know that you've been distracted. So, my brothers and my sisters, it's careful time. We cannot allow ourselves to be separated from the love of God. We cannot allow ourselves to be put into that position. But see, when you're dealing with something or someone that has their resume, your negative resume, let me put it that way, on their desk, and they know the desires of your heart, but they also are familiar with the lust of your flesh. And see, that's what gets us in trouble, that lust of our flesh. Now, we're going to go back to, we're going to digress here momentarily back to Peter. Now, as I say, he was in the boat. He's seeing the Lord walking. The Lord gave him, he woke up sleepy-eyed. He was fearful. But the Lord gave him that invitation as well as the authorization to come out there. So Peter took a couple of steps. Man, I'm doing pretty good. This walking on water thing ain't that bad. But then they say he heard one of those boom boxes riding past on another ship. And all of a sudden, it took his focus off of the Lord where it should have been. And what happened? He immediately, if not sooner, began to sing. But see, he was smart enough. He said, Lord, help me. And see, some of us is not able to cry just that fast. Because if you know how long it takes to sink from, go from water to be completely submerged, that's faster than you could ever think. Have you ever been around somebody that was falling down and you try to catch them? Before you know it, they're on the ground. You've seen them falling. It registered in your brain that they were taking a tumble, but it was nothing that you could do physically to stop them from hitting the ground. So I'm just saying, even when our children are walking to us and we tell them to come, you know, when they first learn how to walk and then they stretch their arms out to us and they begin to take one unsteady step after another approaching us, then the minute they look down at that floor, boom, down he going. I don't care. You could be Harry Houdini, has the fastest hands in the world, but you still can't stop them from hitting that floor. So I'm just saying that it's time for us to eliminate those distractions out of our life. Now, you say, Deacon, you keep telling us to eliminate these distractions, but you still ain't gave us no information on how to do these things. Well, I'm about to give you some information. First of all, you got to concentrate more on the word. When you study, You got to find a quiet place, because Brother Brown told me about 5 or 6 years ago when I first began to do the broadcast. He told me, and he was fair and he was honest. He said, Deacon Cox, this ain't going to work in a noisy house. You're not going to be able to convey the Lord's word with a whole lot of distractions in the background. And there was a few times where my granddaughters were over, and a few times they was quiet. A few times I wanted to boil them in oil. But he was right about that, because, see, you got to find a quiet place. Another thing, not to be distracted, you have to have discipline. And when you think about discipline, I think about those Royal Canadian Mounted Police in Canada. I think about those bobbies over there in London. Those guys, when they standing at the guard, if a fly, whatever, nothing distract them. You could come and wave your hand in front of their face, and they're concentrating so hard on whatever it is they're concentrating on that they would not allow you to make them lose their focus. So you need discipline. You need a quiet place. You need to study. You need to dedicate it. You need faithfulness. You need all of these things, because, believe it or not, these distractions are going to come. It's impossible to stop them from coming at you, but how you handle them. And see, distraction comes from Latin, which this, the first part of it, so I'm breaking it down, it means apart. Trafir means to drag. So when you set something apart and you drag, or you dragged away from it, then you are no longer apart from it. But God's word said, let nothing separate you from the word of God. Nothing. Not left death or none of those things separate you. In other words, you have to, because it's a lot of times, and we might have death in a family, or we might have somebody that's ill. And I've seen a lot of people who have had illnesses in their family, and they stopped going to church. I've seen a lot of people who have had tragedies, they stopped going to church. It distracted them because they were so devastated, but said, we study the Bible. We know that each relationship that we have is just a temporary relationship. So, Brother Brown, audience, I'm going to treat you as good as I can while I can. And if I do that, then I have nothing to worry about. But if I don't treat you the way that God intended for me to treat you, then I'm going to have a problem with myself. So we never know. That's why it's important that we treat one another fairly, that we treat one another in a good manner. Now, we're going to go over here to Samson. Okay. Now, this is another man that was distracted. And we know that Samson, he had a mission. He had a relationship with God. He had a destiny. And see, when you got a destiny, this means that you have been ordained by God to do great things. But then he allowed this woman, by the name of Delilah, and he knew it. She kept on coming at him, And it's just like you're going on a long trip, and your children keep on saying to you, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? So after a while, it begins to get annoying. And I used to tell in Bible class, I used to tell them that it's the children. I was going to write a children book, but then, like Brother Brown's sister, but then I have all the parents mad at me. And the name of the book is And it is the children talking to one another and talking amongst one another. When it comes down to your parents now, don't pay any attention to the first 1,000 no's. because children don't get tired of asking for that bicycle. They're going to get tired of asking for that ice cream. Don't get tired of asking, are you going to take them to the movie? Say, okay, we're going to do it, but then they will wear you down the same way Delilah wore Samson down. She wore him down to the extent that he submitted himself to her. Now, don't let these distractions. He was willing to give up his secret, the one secret that he was supposed to guard. Now, how many of us have given up our secrets because we were distracted, because somebody was pretty to us, because somebody, you know, because sugar daddy or sugar mama was extra good that day. So I'm just saying there to say, as I was telling you, distractions come in many forms, many shapes, many sizes, many directions. You don't know where it's coming from. And see, we got to remember that it's important to remember who you really are, who your identity is, because you're going to always be the point of attack from somebody. See, Samson was no different, just like you or I are no different. We're going to be the target because, see, it's somebody out to prove right now that each and every last one of you that's up under the sign of my weak voice is not who you say you are. If there's somebody ever got so on your nerves, I'll put it that way, that you had a desire to just cuss them out. Now, if it was Peter, Peter would have cussed them out. But I'm just saying that sometimes people would distract us and they will make us forget who we are. So I'm just saying sometimes, a lot of times, distractions will give you amnesia, will make you forget, will convince you to give away your secret. But we can't do that. We can't allow that to happen. So I'm just saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, we got to be extra careful. We got to be extra careful because these distractions are coming at us. They're coming at us through money. They're coming at us through our children. How one kid is guilty of something, and then he tell us what the other kid did and distract us from chastising him. Next thing we know, we're going to punish this other kid for something that happened 2 years ago because they broke our vase or something. But this other kid that distracted us and become a master manipulator in our life that we have forgot all about what that child did. See, don't you see the distraction working? And my brothers and my sisters, we got to lean on the Lord. That's why I said, we got the Lord, I got to look to you. Because you're the only one that could give me that spirit of discernment to know when somebody or something is distracting me. There are so many church folk right now, so many people that have worked hard all of their life and have invested their hard-earned money into these schemes. And they say that during this stimulus time, there are so many scam artists out there. So I'm just giving you a warning. Don't allow yourself to be manipulated. Do what it is that the Lord will have you to do. Don't allow yourself to be distracted because, see, distraction, all it's going to do is separate you. And I'll say separate and apart. And when you get those two things, then your focus is gone. Peter lost his focus. Jonah lost his focus. Eve lost her focus. She started a chain reaction with Adam. He lost his focus. All of these people lost when the king lied and said that his wife was his sister. He lost his focus. I mean, he might have had a good purpose for doing that. But what God's word says, God's words mean. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. And see, all of these things in the Ten Commandments is covered up under one of these things. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not have no other God before me. So all of these people, all of us, wait a minute, I'm not there. I ain't going to let you get away with it that easy. All of us at one time or another in our life lost our concentration. But the most important thing was distracted by something, felt foolish because of an action that we created in our mind or in our heart. But see, if you truly are repentant in your heart and you are of a contrite spirit, you'll ask the Lord, Lord, how could I get back? And your good gracious, I don't know what I was thinking when I did that, Lord. And don't blame it on being human, because we all are human. But sometimes some of us are susceptible to the okey-doke. Let me put it that way, be on the nice side. A lot of us are susceptible to these things. Why? Because they come in a nice, neat package. But the topic said deadly. Deadly distractions. And see, these distractions, anything that takes your focus off of God is deadly. Because it'll start off innocently, and then we'll find ourselves moving further and further and further and further away from the Lord. Why? Because that abnormal behavior has become normal behavior. And it's easy because it seems kind of funny, and I know that this has happened because I have some friends that told me this, and I don't have no better sense to believe them. Some friends that were unfaithful in their marriage, and they came to me and said, yeah, you know, I feel bad, you know, having an extramarital affair. And I immediately recommended to them, hey, you ought to quit it. You know, you don't want to break up your marriage because you can't contain your flesh. And then over time, that's not that I accepted it, but I was telling them. And then they told me the first time that they did it, they felt bad. Second time, didn't feel so bad. Third time, it become normal behavior, because the first time you do wrong, guess what? You godly sorrowful about that. You said to yourself, I feel so bad. It's just like an individual out there become intoxicated for the first time. They get so tore up and everything, and they swear off drinking, and they feel so bad. They say, man, that was terrible. I don't never want to drink again. My head was spinning. I had a hangover. I was, you know. But after the first time, the second time, guess what? It becomes less severe. It becomes less severe each and every time. You see, David, let me say, he was distracted. He was distracted by what? Looking down. Word said, I will look to the hills. Not I will look down. I will look up to the hills. See, and there's a lot of ways, like I say, it comes in all different directions, all different ways, through smells, through sounds. There's so many things right now. You hear your favorite song that they played, you know, if you hear I'm Living for the Love of You by the Isley Brothers. Some of us, we're going to reminisce about some good things. It's going to make us start popping our fingers. But see, David got so distracted that he killed somebody. He had somebody killed. Might as well say it because the man's blood was on his hands. So I'm just saying that these distractions, and see, that's a deadly distraction right there. So we have to be careful and mindful that when it comes down to these things, that we cannot allow ourselves. But once again, a reminder. And see, that's what I love about God's word. It would tell you about something. But see, I wouldn't be the person that I am if I didn't give you the solution. See, I can tell you about something and it make you feel bad. You could say that I was distracted. You could say that I got off track. But it's the preacher's job. It's the deacon's job. It's your mother's job, your father's job, your sister's job in the church, your brother's job in the church, to try to help you get back on track. And how could I do that? How could you do that? How can we do that? Tell me the truth. the truth, if the truth don't get you back on track, then something is wrong. If the truth, and see, that's, and see, because what the God's word say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm all three of those things. So if I'm the truth and you're following me, then you're not allowing yourself to be distracted. I am the way. If I'm the way and you're following me, guess what? You're not going to get lost. So there's so many things that we could tie into that. You see, distraction comes in a lot of different ways. It comes in three basic forms. It will distract you from your identity. In other words, it makes you forget who you are, as I said. Make you forget that you're a child of God. Make you forget that you are heir and a joint heir to the throne. See, that's one of the forms that it come in. Okay. It comes in another form. It comes in a lustful and a covet way, where it would make you desire something. See, that's one thing about the word covet. And the Lord gave me a good definition on the word covet. And that is, when you covet something, when the Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or his house, his manservant, his maidservant, his donkey, and no, nothing like that, it's just telling me that I'm not supposed to want what God didn't intend for me to have. Well, what I look like, that's my neighbor. You know, that's my neighbor's wife right there. That's you know, my, you know, I'm not, now I can want something like that, but not that, because that belongs to his. I'm not supposed to want something that belongs to somebody else. But see, you might say, okay, you know, we look at it and we say, okay, well, and that's why when it comes down, I told a friend, a man, a long time ago, I told him every day for a whole month, I said, man, I got a beautiful wife. I got a beautiful wife. And then he just got tired of me telling him that I got a beautiful wife. He didn't get the picture at first. He said, man, why you keep telling me that you got a beautiful wife? I said, I know you got a beautiful wife, man. I was seeing it in operation. I say, the reason I'm telling you that I got a beautiful wife, so you won't have to tell me. So when it comes down to these things, we got to be careful, because a lot of times people covet. We say, if it was me, that's a trap right there. If somebody say, well, hey, I don't like the way so-and-so did such and such a thing, tell them I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. Because see, when we put ourselves in that kind of stuff, if it was me, lead to the trouble. So we have to be mindful of these things. But like I say, we know that David was distracted. We know that Eve was distracted. We know that Isaiah, oh yeah, he was distracted. The reason I say that he was distracted is because it had to be something removed away from him in order for him to see and recognize the Lord. And ladies, be extra careful, because that's happening in the church. A lot of ladies, and I ain't getting off track here, but a lot of ladies, they love their pastors, but sometimes that pastor is stopping them from seeing the Lord, because see, when they get home talking to their husband. And there's been many arguments after women that came home from church and say, well, pastor said this and pastor said that. Now I got a simple solution.
About it.
I got a real simple solution. All you got to do when you go home, and I know some of y'all might stop listening, but when you go home, all you got to do is say, God's word says.
You better watch out, Dick. Watch it.
Because there's been so many men mad at that preacher.
You're
because
right
that wife came home and talked about that preacher from sun up to sun down. They, you know, preacher come over and she feed her husband last. He come over for dinner and she give him the chicken breast and they don't do it now, but shoot, she end up giving her husband the chicken back.
Lord, have
so,
mercy. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I mean, I'm just telling the truth now. Sometimes we get distracted. We get distracted to the point that we take our focus off of Jesus, and that's a deadly, deadly distraction. But Brother Brown, it looked like the time just flew by once again, so thank God for the listeners. Thank him for the opportunity to bring forth his word. And remember, the solution to these distractions is to concentrate more on the Lord. Let him lead and guide you to all truth. And I'll turn you over to Brother Brown. Now, thank you for the privilege and the pleasure of your time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox, for bringing and delivering that powerful word on tonight, part two of Deadly Distractions. Before I close out for tonight, I forgot to give you all the spiritual food for thought for today. Today's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, what have you done that will glorify God lately? Once again, today's spiritual food for thought, what have you done that will glorify God lately? So once again, Deacon Marvin Cox, I thank you for delivering this powerful word on tonight. It was a much-needed word for such a time as this. We know that God's word is never going to go out void. It's always going to accomplish everything that God set out for it to do because he knows who's going to be listening and what we all stand in need of. So on tonight, listeners worldwide, I thank you, God, for this worldwide platform, this worldwide ministry, because, again, it's the worldwide platform. It's all over the world, and God is truly being glorified through his word. So on tonight, as I always say, encourage one another in God's word. Not with your opinions, not with your feelings, but according to God's word. So we're going to close out on tonight with this song, I Give You Praise. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that I love you, but know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Child.